Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? I'm your host, Eric Brown, along with my ever-awesome co-host, as usual, Erica Lynn Anderson. Unfortunately, Tishi couldn't be here with us this week, but we'll definitely try to hold it down for her. We'll miss her, but I understand she's having a pretty good weekend, so we'll be looking for her to come back next week. And also today in the No Joke Football Huddle, in a couple of minutes here, hopefully we'll be talking about the NFL draft and the women's game with Mr. Emory Hunt, the CEO and founder of FootballGamePlan.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. That's at the letter F, Ball Game Plan. So, Erica, what's happening? How you been?
I've been pretty good. It was a busy week, so it went by fast. But it was good. It was good. I mean, finals are gearing up for school, so you know how that is.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Are you in school, or are you talking about the kids?
I'm in school, actually. I go to college, my local university. So, yep,
okay.
So we're gearing up. We've got about 3 weeks left or so. So they're piling on the work and the projects. So,
yeah.
But it'll be
what
nice
are you studying?
Once that's all done. I am studying computer networking and web programming.
So, okay. Sweet.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
So once you graduate, then the Gridiron Bullets will be like 10 times the ship that it is, I guess we could say then. Put your skills to the...
That's right. Put them to use.
Right.
How was your week?
It was pretty good. Pretty much, you know, your typical week, the day job during the week that pays the bills and, running around with the kids, getting ready for end of school stuff. Have another kid getting ready to graduate from high school, moving on. So, getting ready for that. Like I said, last week we had the big performances for her dance team. So us dads had to get up there and show our stuff. So that was done. And then we had the banquet at the end of the week. So.
Okay.
And, of course, this weekend, a lot of running around, stuff that you don't get to do during the week, of course, as a parent has to get done over the weekend, so.
No rest, for sure. You got proms and stuff probably then, right, too? She's a senior, right?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if she wants to go, because at one point she did want to go, and then she didn't want to go, then, her friends were talking about going, they're not talking about going, so, I don't know, it's... So I guess it'll be kind of a last-minute thing that, we'll find out. We got to, rush her up to the prom. So we'll see what happens.
The perils of being a teenage girl. I do not miss it. I'll tell you that much.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll get into some draft talk today. We'll have some recaps of recaps here for you of week two from the WFA and the IWFL and the Legends Football League in the women's game. And we also want to give a big congrats to at Katie9Star on winning the $50 Victoria's Secret gift card. We'll send that out to her. And thanks again to all of you who were able to participate. Now we have a new contest that you need to know about. So go to the No Joke Football Shop by April 24th and tell us what's your favorite tee or hoodie, and post the link to the gear that you wanted, that you picked to be your favorite. Post that on Twitter or Facebook to be entered to win. You can go to the No Joke Football Shop today at www.zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. Order your project apparel like leggings, hoodies, some cool T-shirts for tryouts. You can also save 10% off, and you want to use the discount code ORDERSHIP10, all spelled out, ORDERSHIP10. Guys, you can go there too. I was on the site this past week looking at some stuff. I actually got a pretty cool T-shirt on the way. So there is some stuff on there for the guys, for all of our male listeners out there, or any female listeners that have a male football fan in their life. You can send them there, and they can find some pretty cool stuff also. And as a reminder, every sale of the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get recognized, and not only nationally but internationally through our photo shoots and social media platforms. Players like Christy Moran and Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, plus Moon Arandia and Sophia Venby of FXF Mexico and LIBF. So we'll go into the women's rundown before we get into the huddle, catching you up to date on the scores. In week two of the WFA, the Boston Renegades had a big win over the Central Maryland Seahawks, 57-0. The Chicago Force also had a big win. Go Chi-Town, my hometown, beating the Detroit Dark Angels, 67-0. I like that name, the Dark Angels. But Chicago was able to pull that one out, 67-0. The Surge won out against the Sin City Sun Devils, 54-12. So some big scores this week. The Everett Rain came out on top against the Portland Fighting Phillies, 18-13. So that one was a much closer game. Also in week two of the IWFL, the Pittsburgh Passion beat the Philadelphia Firebirds 55-8, while the Carolina Phoenix beat the Knoxville Lightning 45-0. And the Sacramento Sirens also defeated the California Quake 49-0. So some big scores, some big beatdowns this week. But I don't think anything topped this one. And also in week two of the Legends Football League, the Atlanta Steam had the biggest victory in league history. They beat the Omaha Heart 86-0. I can't imagine being beat like that, but it did happen. lots of rookies on the team, along with about a huge majority of the veterans returning. So that was a very large victory there. So, do we know if we have Emery with us yet?
We do. She is on.
All right. So we'll go into the huddle with Mr. Emery Hunt of footballgameplan.com. Emery, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for taking the
time
to join us. Definitely appreciate it. You're on here with Erica Lynn Anderson. I don't know if you guys have spoken before, but she's on here as well. So we'll be firing off some questions here at you here pretty quickly here.
Not a problem. Good luck with school, by the way.
What was that?
I said good luck with school, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, well, we'll start with the draft first and go through some team needs and some necessities. This year, the five teams picking first this year in the draft, what do you think some of their biggest needs are? Just basically a quick rundown of what the needs are, necessities, wants, et cetera.
Well, when you look at Tampa, obviously they have to find someone to play the quarterback position. I think they also need help at defensive end. So there's two major needs on that football team. I think the rest of the team is just fine. If they get the right quarterback, I believe he'll help their offensive line look a lot better than what it did last year. So I don't see offensive line as a quote-unquote major need. And on the defensive side, they have to find someone, like I said before, to get after the quarterback on a consistent basis. You look at the second team, Tennessee. I think Tennessee needs a quarterback as well. I can't put my trust in Zach Mettenberger and what he has put out there already on the field. Plus, he's a guy, if you know, history is your biggest indicator that he has issues staying healthy. He had that issue at LSU, and he had a little bit of that issue in Tennessee last year as a rookie. So I say quarterback would be their biggest need. Also, you look at maybe cornerback help or linebacker help for the Titans. And third, Jacksonville, you know, another team that on paper has some talent and has enough to win. And I know they just signed Stefan Wisniewski, so that helps out their offensive line. I think their major need is just like Tampa's defensive need. They have to find someone that's a threat getting after the quarterback. I think that's where they have to put their focus at. Also at linebacker, I know they re-signed their Mike backer, Paul Posluszny, but I think they have to get a little bit more athletic behind him, and he's another guy that tends to have those nagging injuries. And fourth, you look at the Oakland Raiders. I still think even though they signed Crabtree, they have to get, you know, a dynamic talent at wide receiver. They need a full upgraded receiver. I like what they have at tight end. I like what they have along the offensive line. Defensively, the last two seasons, they've drafted very well. So I do think they can use more youthful depth at cornerback, at free safety, at strong safety, and also at linebacker. So there's a lot of ways that they can fill those needs because they have drafted well the last two seasons. And fifth, which would be the Washington Redskins, I think their offensive line is key. I don't think center is key because I like the all-season move they made to get a guy in Tyler Lawson from Utah State, who I liked a lot last year, gave him a first-round grade. He went undrafted, and they signed him this year in the offseason. So I think the center spot is key, but I think they have to find someone at guard, right tackle, and also have to find on the defensive side of the ball someone to replace Brian Oracle. They do have Chase Thomas. I do like what he brings to the table as an outside backer compared to, opposite of Ryan Kerrigan. But on the inside as well, I think they can use some help along that second level.
Now, just to back up a little bit, of course, we have the Buccaneers picking at number one. I guess the pink elephant in the room is going with either Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota. Do you have any thoughts or feelings either way or which direction they might go? Of course, you know, we all know Lovie Smith loves his defensive tackles and his linebackers, so I wouldn't be at all shocked if he went in that direction. But do you have any thoughts or feelings as far as who they may take number one?
I can't go inside the head of Lovie Smith, but I will say if it was up to me, I would go with Jameis Winston because when you look at what he does from a pure quarterbacking standpoint, from throwing the football, from the accuracy, from the decision-making, all of that checks off. But what he also has the advantage, I believe, is with situational football. You know, he's a guy that does well on third down, in the red zone, end-of-game situations, backed-up offense, four-minute offense, all those things he does exceptionally well. And that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Outside of what he does, you know, like I said before, just from the pure quarterbacking standpoint with the accuracy of the arm and the decision-making. So I think he's a complete quarterback, and I would compare his game to John Elway and what he was able to do for Denver. And the same type of awkward athleticism they have, and they can run, but they're not necessarily great runners, but they find a way to get it done, if that makes sense. And that's why I would go with Winston over Mariota.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. That's you're not the first person I've heard that kind of compares him to Elway as far as, you know, their athletic ability or how they move or, you know, similarities. So, yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense. What position do you think is going to be the most heavily drafted this year?
That's a great question. I think when I look at the depth of the draft, I would say cornerback. I think that this is a great draft for the cornerback position. You can go into the fourth or fifth round and come out with a couple of starters, guys with a lot of talent. So I think the cornerback position, and just by nature of what it is and how many you can have on the field, receiver will also be another position where people will go heavy and draft a lot.
All right. Erica, do you have a question?
Yeah. So I liked what you said about about the Raiders, you know, drafted a wide receiver. Because I really like Derek Carr, and I think they have – I think he's got solid talent, and I think that it's definitely time for the Raiders to start really having him some weapons and getting some talent to build around him. And, you know, the same with Blake Bortles, you know, in Jacksonville. I think that it's definitely time to – I feel like they have their franchise quarterbacks now and that it's time for them to start building around them. So I definitely liked your points about, you know, both of those teams. My question is, you know, we've heard rumors about a possible trade between San Diego or the Bears to the Titans. Obviously, Phillip Rivers or Jay Cutler going to the Titans, and then possibly, you know, the number two pick going to either of those teams. What do you think the likelihood of that happening is?
Well, it's always possible because of you know, the need of the for the position. Now, I will say this: it would be probably better for, financially better for Chicago to move up as opposed to Philadelphia to move up because of how, you know, how far Philly has to jump. And for Tennessee, if you truly feel that you can win with Mettenberger, then yes, take the best deal on the table. And if that's – it's probably going to be Philly if they really want to move up to number two. If they don't, then Chicago, I think, definitely would be an ideal spot to move up. And they can win with Cutler, and Cutler actually fits what Wisenhunt wants to do and all of those good things. So if it were to happen, it's up. They still own all the cards because, again, they have to find the best deal for them. But it would be costly for a team like Philly or anyone after, let's say, out of the top ten, try to get to that number two spot.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now on to running backs. If you had to draft a running back, number one, who would you take? And number two, when would you say would be the right time to take a cornerback in this or a running back in this year's draft?
I would say it's tough to choose between the running backs because my top three has different – they all have different styles. And I wouldn't mind having any one of them, and I could win a lot of games with any one of them. So I would go. I would answer your question like this. I would have as my 1, 2, 3, Gurley, Gordon, and Amir Abdullah, right that way. But as far as when to take one, as a former running back, I'm always for taking guys early and often. You know, backs are the crown jewel in my opinion of the NFL, speaking as a former running back, so obviously I'm biased. But this year, I think three guys legitimately have first round talent, so I wouldn't mind taking them if you're a team in the first round that needs a running back, and there's maybe two or three, you know, like Baltimore, you can make a case for the Jets, you can make a case for Dallas, Detroit. I wouldn't hesitate in taking one of those guys for one of those teams. Now, in the second tier of back, there's two guys that I gave second-round grades to, and that's Alabama's T.J. Yeldon and also Duke Johnson out of Miami. I think those five are guys that I think could be day-one starters and game-breakers and guys that can help your football team win with 1,200 to 1,500-yard seasons as rookies.
And actually, on the subject of running backs, we're all hearing about what's happening with Adrian Peterson. He was just reinstated into the NFL this week. If somehow he gets out of Minnesota, do you foresee them drafting a running back or more so maybe taking someone in free agency?
To me, that's the biggest wild card because that's a situation that was up until what he got reinstated was very tough to gauge because you didn't know when he was going to get reinstated, and if he was, you didn't know if Minnesota still wanted him or if he still wanted Minnesota. I still think this is a very tough situation to gauge and get a good handle on. But I will say if he does vacate, like you mentioned, then yes, Minnesota, I think they have to find a way to get it back, maybe in round two. Because, like I said, a guy like T.J. Yeldon or Amir Abdullah may be there in round two or Duke Johnson. Because I think what they have on the roster right now and Jerick McKinnon, he's a good player, but I think he's more of a complimentary player. And if they're going to pair two guys together to have one running game, they can do a lot better than Matt Asiata. So I think they have to find a guy to either complement McKinnon or just be the bell cow guy and have McKinnon come in and spare sparingly.
Right. Isn't it? It's crazy how running backs have kind of been devalued. I mean, myself, I'm a huge running back fan myself. I mean, I grew up playing running back until I got to college, and I just didn't have the size to compete, so I went to DB. But yeah, like yourself, I'm a big running back fan. So it's just crazy to see the possibility that a running back may not even be drafted in the first round. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that whole scenario. Erica, did you have another question?
Yeah, so when you look at the draft, and this is probably kind of an inclusive answer as far as you're probably going to have more than one answer, but what position that you feel like in the draft has the most ready-to-play talent that teams can draft and really kind of plug these guys right in and see these guys, starting at the beginning of the season and succeed?
That's a great question. I think the easiest position is running back and also defensive line. I think you can plug those guys in right away and they can get up to speed. So I say the running back position, whenever they draft or whomever you draft, wherever you draft them, mm-hmm. in the rounds, you can plug those guys in right away and play. And defensive lineman, you know, it's you don't have to necessarily, you can win with quickness, you can win with power, and as a defensive lineman, initially, there's not much you really have to know because you can play as a rotational guy, unlike offensive line, where you're going to have to learn the scheme and get a good feel for the guys around you. Defensive line, you kind of can play one-on-one ball. So I think those two positions are where, you know, you can have the most the immediate impact right away.
Okay. And then, so obviously, I'm a huge Patriots fan. So, and I've read a ton about, you know, what their needs are for the draft and things like that. But I'd like to kind of hear your assessment on their draft needs and kind of where you think they'll go for their first pick.
The Patriots are one of those teams that they have a lot of depth. And I think instantly everyone wants to focus on the wide receiver position. And, yes, they can use some help at receiver, but whatever they have on the roster, they tend to make it work for them. So it's interesting to say, you know, they need a receiver, but they – tend to get by with what they have. I do think defensive line, they got to get younger. They got to find someone to replace Vince Wilfork. Mm-hmm. So maybe look at a guy like Carl Davis in the first round, being a player that can play multiple spots. We know how Bill Belichick loves players that have versatility. I think he would be that type of guy. You also look at the offensive line, getting depth there, you maybe on the interior. And if you're going to go receiver or maybe strong safety, will be some other spots that they can add. I wouldn't even be surprised if they try to add another tight end as well, try to get, you know, that recreate that whole Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski 1-2 punch that they had a couple years ago.
Yes, definitely. And I guess I had another question. So the Buffalo Bills don't have a first-round pick, and they made some decent, you know, free agency moves, but do you think that is going to hurt them at all, not having a first-round pick?
Not necessarily. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, that roster, I believe, is stockpiled with talent. I mean, especially defensively, within the front four and also in the secondary, they're jam-packed with talent. And when you look at the outside linebackers, there's guys that can flip-flop from a DN to an outside backer like Jerry Hughes and not miss a beat. You know, so I think they're set both on the offensive side with the playmakers they've added, also what they have in the backfield. Their offensive line, I think, will be a lot better this year. I think they're probably sticking with E.J. Manuel. You have to let that young guy develop and allow him to get better. And I think adding those pieces they added offensively will give him the best chance to be successful. And I think when you look at his play, he slowly was getting better before they pulled the plug and went to Kyle Orton and kind of stagnated their season. So it's tough to say where they could have been if they would have just stuck with a guy like E.J. Manuel. He would have gotten better each and every game. They probably would have ended up in the playoffs like they wanted to. So I think now him going into this offseason and having these weapons around him and having that opportunity to succeed, I think the Buffalo Bills are one of those teams that you really have to look out for this year in the AFC.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, the consistency at quarterback, you know, really does not only does it affect the team because they need stability, but it affects the individual. I mean, it'd be hard to get, you know, really keep learning and growing at your job if, you know, you feel like the team isn't, or like the, you know, management isn't behind you, that they don't have a lot of confidence in you. And, you know, that really, you know, probably affects Manuel's skills and his confidence in himself. And like we know, at this level, without confidence, it's hard to accomplish really much of anything. So, you know, the Buffalo, I think the Bills definitely need to get some consistency and make a decision at the quarterback position.
But also, if you look at what Rex Ryan was able to do with Mark Sanchez his first couple of years, I think at this point, E.J. Manuel is a better quarterback than what Sanchez was. So, I mean, there should be – I would expect that there would be some pretty good improvement there. But, yeah, you know, well, it's just one of those things that just has to play out, and we'll see from there. Given the recent moves in free agency across the board, who would you see has helped themselves the most for the upcoming season?
I think Buffalo, number one. You look at the Jets, they've gotten significantly better in the secondary and also at receiver, two things that were sore spots last year for a team. I also think New Orleans has gotten better by what they've added, not only in free agency, but also what they were able to accumulate by letting go of Jimmy Graham. And the reason why I say that is because Jimmy Graham, while talented, was one-dimensional. So when you had him on the football field, you knew you wasn't going to be able to run the football because he wasn't going to block. Mm-hmm. So now you take him off, you add a tight end that can do both, and you get a starting center, that which was important, which was another sore spot for New Orleans last year. So I think they've gotten better by getting rid of Jimmy Graham and adding those two first-round picks, or first adding another first-round pick, and what, four, five picks in the top three rounds? That's a great chance for a team that was already stacked with talent to get even better.
Right, definitely. Well, now it's about the time we will move into the women's game. As we were talking about earlier, there were some big beatdowns, so to speak, in week two action. We know it's early in the season, but who do you feel would be the top-tier teams in each league coming up this season?
Well, I haven't really studied the IWFL just yet, but the two teams that stood out to me in the WFA so far in the short season, the DC Divas and the Cleveland Fusion. You know, with DC, it's impressive how they've been able to sustain success year in, year out. They've been one of the premier teams, like the former Boston Militia before they folded. But, you know, the DC Divas have been a team that, you know, that's always been at the top. And, you know, the Jacksonville Pixie Blues is a young team that started their season 2 weeks ago as well. But they're always in the mix, you know, coming from the – you usually see teams in the north and northeast be successful, even team out west in Seattle. The Majestics, they've been a very good football team, but you rarely see those powerhouse ball clubs in the South. I think Jacksonville has been one of those teams. Atlanta at times has shown they can compete. But just overall, just right off the bat, I would have to say PC and Cleveland.
Okay. Now, also kind of almost at the opposite end of the spectrum, do you expect any surprises coming up, or any teams popping up that people weren't checking for?
I think once they actually get on the field, the Utah Falcons, I know they initially started in the WFA, but now they're going to play in the IWFL as a late switch. I think that's a team that's well-coached, they're well-managed. I think they have a great chance to surprise once they actually take the field, because they were good last year. I think they'll be even better this season.
Okay. And also, I'm from Chicago, so I'm a big homer. I have to ask you about the Chicago Blitz. Two-time defending champion, you know, they've got an opportunity to do it again this year, you know, obviously creating a dynasty. Do you foresee that happening, or do you think there's any teams that can possibly sneak up on them and knock them off the top?
Well, they're always good because they play a good brand of football. They're able to run the football downhill. They operate off play action. They run a pro-style what we like to say your traditional pro style offense. You know, you're gonna see eye formation. You're gonna see double tight. They won't do anything, you know, quote unquote gimmicky, as like people like to say. But I think the way they play kind of makes you have to be physical up front, and we don't see a lot of teams, whether it's in the women's leagues or even in the men's leagues, that want to consistently try to stop the run or consistently play physical up front. I think that's where Chicago has the advantage. It's why they're always competitive.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I was able to watch a little bit of the game from last week when they played their what's beginning to be a big rivalry between them and Atlanta, and they were very physical up front. It's just your basic nuts and bolts football. So as long as you got those fundamentals, it's very hard to beat a team that's good in those areas. Erica, any more questions for Emory?
No, you know, I think Jakey answered all of them. Have you guys been pretty busy with your website? Has that been keeping you pretty busy?
Yeah, we've just been all over the place, and it's just crazy because, you know, we cover a lot. We virtually cover every league, and so we're spread, many different ways. For instance, we'll be in Chicago, not for the draft, but for NFL Play 60. We also have some FBGPU segments where we're on the college campus filming some whiteboard segments. We're going to be at the University of Chicago. We're going to be at Lake Forest College. And then the following week, we'll be in Canada covering the CIS, the East-West Bowl, their all-star game for the upcoming 2016 CFL draft. So we'll be there the following week. Then I'll be in Louisiana doing some more FBGP stuff, FBGPU stuff, like with Tulane, Louisiana College, McNeese, and Louisiana Lafayette as well. So we're across the board, front and back, and also doing some high school recruiting as well, too.
Exciting. Let everybody know that, if you go to footballgameplan.com, it is really your one-stop shop for everything football. Women's game, arena, has indoor, fantasy, draft, all that stuff, NFL. So I was perusing it, and it's an amazing site. You've done a great job with it. So I just wanted to, really give you kudos on that. You've done an amazing job with it.
Well, I appreciate that. We're trying to grow a little bit every year. In August, it'll be year 7 or 8, I believe. Year 8. We started in 2007, so we just try to grow a little bit every year and get better.
Nice.
And we'll definitely keep up the work.
Yeah.
All right, well, we definitely want to thank you for making the time to come on our show today. We definitely appreciate it. Before we let you go, I want you to let everyone know how they can follow you or get in contact with you, or any social media contact information that you have there.
Well, they can hit me up on Twitter at FBallGamePlan and follow our website, footballgameplan.com, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/footballgameplan, where we constantly update video content daily.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks again. Definitely appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a man that definitely knows his stuff, as you can tell. So hopefully we can have him back on soon. But thanks again, and have a great night. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Emory. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, there you have it. Once again, Emory Hunt. As you can see, knows just about everything. I'm sure if we asked him what size shoe, Dan Marino wore, he might know that. So, but my kind of guy right there.
Yeah, he's definitely knowledgeable. It's really cool.
Right. All right. Well, moving on. Just want to let everyone know you can subscribe to our playlist at Gridiron Beauties. That is the at YouTube channel, and you can watch the girls playing American football. Like a girl, no joke football. You can follow the new Twitter, LIBF handle. It is at the number one, LIBF. Once again, that's at the number one, LIBF. And our network partner, at radio underscore IMAN. Once again, that's at radio underscore You can say IMAN or IMAN on Twitter for updates and weekly scores. And also we want to remind everyone you can watch the replay of the Chicago Bliss-Atlanta Steam game from April 11th on Fuse. So check your cable guide to find out where that is. Twitter, you can use the hashtag LFL on Fuse. That's F-U-S-E to catch those replays. And you're definitely not going to want to miss that. I've been watching. I was able to watch the beginning of the game, and it was pretty much everything you wanted to see: fast-paced, physical, and they're definitely not playing like girls. so you can visit the LFL YouTube channel or Fuse TV on Saturday. Also, the PGFL 2015 saw the Evil Queens get another win, 25-14 versus the Pretty Monsters. We'll have updates on Facebook, and you can follow at PGFL Official on Twitter and on FB.com, Facebook.com. But actually, you want to spell it FB.com/LIGA PGFL for scores. And for final scores of the Caribbean Football League, you want to follow them at Bucaneras Bikini for updates. You can also get LNFA Spanish League updates and stats at www.fefa.es/INFA. So you can check all your Spanish League updates and stats and stay up to date on your favorite teams and players there. You can use the hashtag LNFA Femenina on Twitter. You can follow at FEFA_Spain for updates of matches on Twitter. Also follow at NFL Hispano. So some more sites and handles where you can follow all your women's game action overseas in Spain and all across the globe. So also this week, the Great Britain women's team has released the practice squad selections. So the final team will be selected from the women on this list. So we'll see who makes the squad and who doesn't. So that's part of the life of an athlete. So they have the European Championship qualifier against Russia May 3rd. You can find the whole list and keep up to date with the BAFA women in the UK by liking them on Facebook, or you can follow at BAFA women on Twitter, and you can find those results there as well. Also, another reminder to follow the Australia women's off-season updates and keep up to date on the latest at LGLAUST, Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron, also at LGLAUST on Twitter, and also their website, www.wglaus.com. It also has a lot of cool features, past stories as well, so you can not only stay up to date on what's going on currently, but you also can take a look at what's happened in the past. So, and also, 21 days until the Western Women's Canadian Football League kickoff in Canada, so the countdown is going on. So keep up to date on news and updates by following our network on Twitter. That would be at Backseat Coach, also at WFB Talk, at Miss Gridiron 9, at GI Queendom, at radio_IMAN, and continue to share our posts, retweets, everything on info on women's tackle football, full kit and non-full kit. So that's women's news. You can follow us on our social media sites on Twitter, and that is at Gridiron Beauty, or Facebook.com/GridironBeauties. We're also on Instagram, so you can find us there, Gridiron Beauties. And that's it. I think that pretty much covers everything. All the sites and info where you can find out about the women's game. If you know of any more, hit us up. We'll gladly add it. So, all right. So I think we got enough time here to move on to some NFL news. What do you think?
Yeah, we've got some time. We've got about 20 minutes or so. I don't know how many people saw the alert. I get them on my phone, like, when it happens. But Tim Tebow has signed a one-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's pretty big news, I would say.
Yeah, that totally caught me off guard, because when I heard he had a workout with them and left without a contract, it was kind of like, you know, the way the newsmakers, per se, were kind of making it sound as it was like, you know, kind of a thanks but no thanks type of situation. But I guess, you know, Chip Kelly's got something up his sleeve, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Philadelphia's selecting quarterbacks because, you know, they've got Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez, Matt Barkley, and G.J. Kinney? I don't know. I haven't really heard of that guy. But, I mean, Bradford, Sanchez, and Barkley now with Tebow. I mean, obviously, not all those guys are going to make the final roster. So a couple of people are going to have to go home. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Tebow fits in, how he fits in. You know, I feel like, you know, I feel like the coach's name just so Chip Kelly, I feel like he's a little bit of a Belichick as far as he's a little bit mysterious. You don't know what he's doing all the time, and he kind of just comes out and goes, surprise, and you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, type thing. So
right.
I feel like no matter what he does, we're going to be surprised.
Yeah. Now, I also wouldn't be surprised if Tim Tebow didn't make the cut because the quarterback situation there is so crowded. Look at most of the 32 NFL teams only keep two on the roster nowadays, as opposed to three like they used to. You figure probably two of them are going to be gone, and I don't foresee Tim Tebow making the roster. But hey, you know, we'll see. Maybe, you know, if he's willing to play another position. Tight end, fullback, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, that would open up options for him to be able to stay. So,
So
we'll keep an eye on that.
And I feel like Tebow, I've heard in the past, I don't know if he's changed his mind, but he said in the past that he's not willing to change from, you know, the quarterback's the only thing he wants to play, which I think is a mistake on his part. So I think he could be really valuable in the tight end position or, like you said, the fullback position. So him kind of only limiting himself to the quarterback position, you know, really narrows the focus and prevents him from having a solid job.
Yeah, definitely. You look at the issues at quarterback. I mean, it's like he's still trying to learn how to play quarterback. And, you know, NFL teams don't have time for that. They need a guy that, you know, kind of has what they need, and then they can, kind of tweak and shape and mold from there. But, how long has he been out of college? And, you know, they're still, you know, trying to get him to shorten his release, get him to be more accurate, work on his footwork.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the things that he needed to have gotten down within his first year, they're still working on that, so. Like you said, if he's open to other positions, which, you know, he's been quoted as saying he's not open to it, that would definitely, you know, help to extend his career if he, you know, just considers himself a football player. But if he just considers himself a quarterback, you know, that kind of makes things interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Now, also, we were talking about Adrian Peterson earlier. I know kind of a big question is, will he show up for the Vikings workouts? Because if not, I mean, I would say at least 30 teams are probably going to be knocking on his door to see if he'd be interested in coming there. I haven't heard any, you know, anything earth shattering other than, you know, he was, you know, reinstated this week with no restrictions at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that too. And, yeah, I think he's going to be heavily sought after, definitely. The team that we've all heard about, obviously, that's interested in him is Dallas. But I've also heard the Raiders may be interested. So that would be interesting to see. It's definitely – he's one of those players you definitely want to keep your eye on from here on out because I think that negotiations could get tense as far as how many people will – will want to sign him.
Right. And, you know, he's, in my opinion, I think he's kind of taken that option out of going back to Minnesota because, you know, he doesn't really feel like they had his back 100%, which I think we were talking about last week. In my opinion, I think he just needs to get over it because a situation like that, you know, they were, you know, sponsors were threatening to leave. You know, protesters were threatening to be out there if he was to be playing. So I just think he just needs to, I don't know if he even has the ability to, but, you know, kind of put himself in the Minnesota Vikings' shoes as a team, as a business, and see, you know, how they may have been looking at him. You know, they, of course, they don't want to lose him, but at the same time, you know, they don't want all the, they didn't want all the repercussions of him still playing, you know, during that situation. So, you know, but he might be hurting himself.
Yeah, I agree with you there that, you know, these people, and I understand it's a high emotion game and that, you know, the game sometimes suffers because of business decisions, but whether we all like it or not, whether the players like it or not, it is a business. And there's a reason, you know, there's people in place that have to make decisions based on, you know, money. And, you know, we wouldn't get to watch the games on TV and everything else if it wasn't treated like a business at the same time. There's, you know, there are benefits to it being a business as well. And, you know, even fans, we fans forget that, especially when free agency rolls around and we freak out. And, you know, it's at the same time, it's, you know, you a player demands too much money, the team's got to let them walk. They can't mortgage their future for one guy. So, you know, it's Minnesota, I definitely understood it, and I think that came right on the heels of the Ray Rice thing, which everybody was already up in arms about that, so that, you know, Minnesota didn't want what happened to the Ravens on their hands, and they were a little more preemptive about it, so.
Yeah, that was kind of a firestorm of issues this year, you know, the two we were just talking about, the Greg Hardy situation, you know, just it seemed like every month something was coming up, so.
Yeah, the guy from Arizona, would he break his girlfriend's jaw or something? I don't know. I don't know the exact details. I thought there was a guy from Arizona or something that did something.
Yeah, I think there was. I forget if it actually did happen or if it was just alleged. But yeah, it was like.
Oh, okay.
Just one thing after another. So yeah, it was a crazy
alleged
year for
people.
The NFL this year.
We use the word alleged. I said we use the word alleged. We don't want any hate mail. We use the word alleged.
Right. Or any funny envelope showing up in.
Exactly, yeah. With white powder residue. you know, it's a Manziel thing. He issued a statement. I don't think that Manziel should be written off yet. Obviously, he's only been in the league for a year, and he was a total bonehead in that year. And the stories I've heard about him not working, him not showing up on time, him not reading the playbook, things like that. But I think that Manziel needs to realize that right now, this is it. This is he better come to, you know, camp and all the rest ready to work and ready to learn because I really think that if he doesn't really get his act together this year, he's in big trouble. I really feel like he's in the process of kind of self-destruction. I don't know what you think, but.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely if he's not able to turn things around this year, he's going to become kind of like the, Black Plague, kind of the guy that nobody wants to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be, he may have to sit out, you know, a good, you know, season, maybe two seasons to kind of, you know, get his act together so that teams will be like, okay, we'll give him a shot and see what happens. Now, I also think the Browns were in a situation where, I mean, they were just so desperate to catch a spark of something to try to get things going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this isn't a surprise to them as far as, you know, his behavior and where he's ended up. I know they listened to, you know, all the things that they wanted to hear. I'm sure they picked those things out. But, Yeah, I mean they had to have known somewhere that if we take this guy, we also have to be in a position to be able to kind of, you know, stay by his side, so to speak, help him out, you know, get him whatever type of help he needs, and, you know, just kind of, you know, use baby steps to get him along. So, definitely would like to see things work out, but, I mean, you never know. Some guys just don't get it figured out until later in life, you know, once they're done playing.
Yeah. And I think we forget, too, how young a lot of these guys are compared to, like, a Brady or a Manning. I mean, Manziel's, what, 24 years old? I mean, he's not, you know, he's really in the scope of things. You remember how we all were at 24, and you're kind of an idiot. I mean, you're not, you know, and not to mention these guys are famous and they've got a bunch of money, and do they always handle it the best way? No, but I think at that point, that's when you get a mentor, somebody that's been through it, that can come alongside these guys and say, hey, this is how we manage your money, this is how we manage the fame, and this is how you can best have a long-lasting career. You know, I think that that's something that almost needs to be commonplace in the NFL, because we're seeing more and more of these situations with people like Manziel and, you know, other players where it's just too much all, you know, and it's sad to see them waste what they have.
Right. And I know they have a lot of that at the rookie symposium, but a lot of it's got to fall back on the player to be able to say, because a lot of times the mentality of somebody, you know, 20, 21, 22, coming out of college, never had a whole lot of money, now all of a sudden they have a boatload of money dropped in their lap. They kind of feel bulletproof. You know, they listen to a lot of the sad stories about a guy, you know, who gets fame and riches in the NFL, and then a year after he's retired, he's flat broke. And a lot of the mentality is, well, that won't happen to me, or, you know, I'm better than that guy, which a lot of that mentality is kind of what helped them to get to where they're at. But, you know, that's kind of a double-edged sword, too. So, it's got to fall both ways. I mean, I don't know if there's anything different the NFL can do, but, yeah, a lot of these guys coming out, they, you know, really have to kind of look at themselves, look in the mirror, and, you know, say, you know, the help is there. Do I take it, or do I just try to figure things out on my own? So,
yeah, do I want help? And you can't help someone that doesn't want help. You know, that's impossible.
Right.
So you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, you know? So I agree with that. So I was curious. So obviously not the Bears, because that's your team. But out of all the teams that you've kind of have seen make free agency moves, and let's say a team that you don't hate like the Packers, because I know you're not going to say the Packers, just like I wouldn't say the Jets, that's an answer to this question. But which team in the NFL would you most like to see do, do well? You know, we all have those teams where we're like, oh, you know, I kind of like them. They're not my team, but you kind of root for them when you see them play. What team do you feel like has made decent enough moves that you would like to see do well this upcoming season?
Well, actually, truth be told, I'm also a Raiders fan from way back. The Raiders have always been kind of my number two team. But I was I started liking them probably sometime around, I think it's about 1980-81, the year that they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So I would like to see them come back around to, back to, you know, to prominence. So that would kind of be my team. So it looks like, you know, things are kind of headed in that direction. They're putting some key pieces in place. You know, they finally have a quarterback. You know, they've improving the receiving core. So that would be my team there to say, okay, yeah, I want to see, you know, what can happen with those guys. What about you?
You know, I like the Raiders. I have some really good friends who are Raiders fans, so I would like for their sake for the Raiders to do well. Another team that I really like are the Texans. I don't know what it is about them. I think part of it's J.J. Watt, because I really love J.J. Watt, but I would really like to see the Texans do well. I feel like they have the defense. Is they really need offensive help? You know, that they need some improvements there. But I really like the Texans. And also the Jaguars. There's something about the Jaguars that I really like, and I really like Bortles. I feel like when I watched his combine, you know, footage and stuff last year and seen some of his college tape, I really like him, and I feel like he could really succeed there if for him, which it sounds like they're doing, they restructured their contract at the tight end, and, you know, they're really making some moves, center and things like that. So I would say the Jags and the Texans for me.
Yeah, I think the Jaguars are going to be pretty dangerous as long as they can, you know, make some smart moves and make sure that they put, you know, guys around Bortles to kind of, you know, help bring out his talent.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of teams kind of in Jaguar situation, they'll get that, you know, the splashy headline-grabbing guy, and then it's like, well, forget the rest of the roster. We got our guy. You know, let's just
mm-hmm.
go out and make sure we put butts in the seats. So, yeah, if they can get some, you know, some decent talent around him, you know, the sky's the limit for them. And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the Texans, I mean, it seems like they're always like a quarterback away. And I don't know,
I know.
For whatever reason, they can't get that figured out. But if mm-hmm. they can ever get, you know, a quarterback in there that is consistent, that's, you know, judicious with the ball, you know, make some big plays, that's another team, you know,
mm-hmm.
That can, you know, really, you know, scare some people. So we'll see what happens with those guys.
I know. And, you know, Will Fork leaving, I was really sad, but he went to the Texans, and I was like, oh, well, I can't hate it too much because I really like the Texans. So it was, you know, kind of one of those things where I'll miss Will Fork, but I'm actually excited to see him in that defense with J.J. Watt. I think it's, their defense is just going to be something to be scared of. And it already was with J.J. Watt. I think adding Wolf Work on the line there, it's going to be fun to watch, definitely.
Right.
Just not against the
Patriots. And then you got Clowney coming back, so it's not like you can necessarily double-team
right.
Watt or you know, just put one guy on Wolf Work because
mm-hmm.
you know, all three of them are there. So it's like
dangerous.
You know, it's almost like one-on-one blocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think we are just about out of time.
Yeah, we're about to have to close down shop here in a few minutes, but just a few closing things here to remind everyone about. Well, first, we, of course, want to thank Emory Hunt for stopping by. Once again, you can follow him at FB or at FBall Game Plan. Once again, that's at FBall Game Plan. So we definitely want to thank him for being with us. Also, a reminder, you can check out at Gridiron Girl on Twitter and also gridirongirl.org for college football insights and stories. And plus, you can follow our other awesome co-host, Kishi, at Kishi's Cuties. You can also follow myself, Eric, at Fit for Life, and that's life is spelled with a Y. And also you can follow Erica Lynn Anderson at Pats Fangirl 12 for more NFL free agency tweets throughout the week. So we've got some, usually have some pretty interesting tweets, so make sure you do follow us for
mm-hmm.
info updates or just random silliness. It's always good too. So. And plus the new contest, go to the shop and tell us which is your favorite tee or hoodie. Once again, you can post that link on Twitter or Facebook for a chance to win by April 24th. And I believe the prize is a new Maserati, right? No, I'm just kidding. So,
yeah,
but, but yeah, do that for a chance to win by April 24th. And you can also catch Erica on at Cover3. And that's Cover the number 3, and once again, 3 spelled out, so at Cover3 during the NFL season, plus also her Are You Kidding Me rants, which is usually pretty entertaining, so definitely you want to check that out. So definitely thanks to everyone for your support and for listening every week. We definitely appreciate it. So for myself and the lovely Erica Lynn, we'll catch you guys next Sunday for another exciting edition of the Gridiron Blitz. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good week.
Bye, everybody.